It's time for Cofield and Company. Live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Yeah, all right, we did it right in the second hour. Golden Circle, Treasure Island, James is down here, Mark McMillan just joining us. Appreciate him hooking us up. Willie Gault in hour one, Matt Groark. I really enjoyed both of those, but and I'm not going to say like I enjoyed the chef more than the legendary football player. They're pretty close.
Made me hungry. Also, talking about the Eagles always makes me happy, so I'm going to go with Matt. But
dude, if you, I'm telling you, I wasn't lying. Like it sounded like I was making just a piggish joke about how titillating his Twitter is when he's starting to cut meat.
Yeah,
it's so crazy. It's so crazy how like well made meat. Freaking the juices, the bark on the outside. It's incredible.
It makes me sad. I mean, it makes me excited and sad because I'm hungry. But
you're going to get food here.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
We got to order up.
In the meantime, you know.
I don't know why I looked at James like, please help.
Yeah.
please help.
Go bring us juicy meat.
Raiders coming up in 3 hours. Got a game over at Allegiant, the final preseason game. I like to be respectful. It's kind of mock on all these games and call them exhibitions or practice games, but there are people fighting for jobs, and there are young guys who are either fighting for a job on the Raiders or putting something on tape for other teams. So this game is really important for the guys who actually do play.
No, it is. I mean, I wonder, though, like, do they go more by game or would they go more by a week of practice? Like, let's say a guy's on the bubble and he has a great week of practice, but he has, like, a kind of a crappy game. Is that going to matter, you know?
I don't think tonight – will decide things.
Yeah.
I mean, I think someone would have to be neck and neck, and then, you know, you get a little look at them. But I think they have it pretty well in mind. But it probably comes down, you know, three or four guys. And then there's the practice squad, too. That's important. Because those guys, just to make the practice squad and be on it for a year or two, you know, as you develop, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's not freaking whoever, Pat Mahomes money, but.
No, it is.
It's good money.
For somebody like me, yeah, it would be great money.
Well, the other thing, like, where do you go to play football?
Yeah, there's no – yeah, exactly. There's
no minor league. I mean, the minor leagues, you know, in the off season, they've helped.
Right.
I'm trying to think. Oh, actually, one of the great stories from last week was the Raiders game against the Cowboys, and Brandon Aubrey was a kicker for the Cowboys. He's a, you know, minor league football guy.
66-yarder?
I mean, that dude, he blasted that thing.
That's unbelievable.
He's like 6 yards over the crossbar.
It's ridiculous. I honestly – even the distance is crazy, but getting it to where you want to go plus the distance to me is just, I don't even know how that's possible. Why do you think it happens now more than ever, though? Because they're just better at it? They've been starting since they've been younger now?
Yeah, they're better. They're better trained. Keep in mind, most records have either been set indoors or in Denver.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Indoor kicking. It's actually, you know, the funny thing is, and welcome in Reno, we're going to get into some Wolfpack football here in like about 17 minutes with Shannon Kelly from Nevada Sportsnet. Where the hell was I going with this? One of the things that UNLV now has in its back pocket is they've had two kickers over the last 4 years make like 88.9% of their field goals, and they haven't missed I think it's been three-plus seasons. They've got like 115 extra points in a row. Well, half their games are at Allegiant Stadium.
Right.
Dap them up.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention.
Playing indoors, I mean, it makes a gigantic difference. I mean, you just see it with, like, on the Raiders side with A.J. Cole. Like, I've been – I don't go to a lot of games, but as a fan, I'll, you know, if I'm sitting in the crowd, just hearing A.J. Cole just boom a ball, and then, you know, the indoor conditions are just beautiful. And obviously Carlson is one of the great kickers in the NFL. So being inside and a Legion – I'm not saying Aubrey's not awesome. And he's kind of got that advantage because Dallas is mostly inside.
Yeah.
So he's probably going to – he might move right to the top, I don't know, three kickers, and he's – basically, a 29-year-old guy has been playing soccer forever, and he made the transition to football.
Do we have numbers on him outdoors? Like, because, you know, with quarterbacks, a lot of times, like Drew Brees outdoors was not very good compared to where he was indoors, stuff like that.
We'd have to look it up. I don't know what he did in the minor league football, what he did outdoors, because I assume almost every one of those, he must have been great, because there's not a lot of indoor facilities in the minor league football leagues. All right, Big Four time.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents The Big Four at Four. Number four.
Big weekend with Little League Baseball. Who are you betting on?
Well, because they're 6-1, I would go Florida.
Wait, there's no hesitation on that? I basically, Jared, put this in the rundown because I was like, I figured Greg would be like, 13-year-olds, dude. What are you, a degenerate? Bet on them. Greg was like, yeah, let's go.
I mean, look, I'm not betting against Chinese Taipei, but I have to bet too much to win anything. So yeah. If I could bet like 6-1 Florida, I might drop $50 on them.
The odds to win are +150 on Chinese Taipei. Florida is 6-1. The game lines for tomorrow. Yeah, there's lines on these. I'm not saying it's right, it's wrong. There's lines on them. I'm just telling you.
Well, they better have something on them, because what else are we getting out of this? A bunch of little amateurs playing baseball. Of course, they're gambling on it. What else are you going to
do? The joy of competition. The thrill of a youngster winning at the highest level.
They throw like 40. Like, who cares?
Nah, they don't.
Yeah.
Some of them are throwing high 60s, low 70s from like 20 feet. It's not 20. I think it's 40 feet.
Yeah. It's 46 feet or something. I don't know, man. I just feel like gambling makes it okay. Like, without the gambling, I have no interest at all.
Number three. Pittsburgh's got a really interesting quarterback. I don't know if it's a battle. Situation. And they set it up in the offseason. I like what they did. They basically layered their quarterback room with two guys who, you know, don't really cost a whole lot. Now, the thing is, between Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, someone's got to achieve. Otherwise, their season is going to be it's going to be rough. I'm not going to say it's a disaster because they're a defensive-based team, but Justin Fields said recently he showed what he can do. He's kind of proven what he can do with the Steelers. What do you think?
I mean, if that's what he can do, it's not very good because I don't know what he's talking about. He didn't have a very good game. The one I saw, he fumbled a snap. His passes weren't very crisp. He hasn't really been a great passer throughout his career so far, so I'm not 100% sure what he means. I mean, if he means he's really athletic, then yeah. Guess, but we knew that already. I don't know.
What do you think their max win total could be?
Man, it's hard to say a Tomlin team won't win, you know, because he does somehow all the time, but I mean, maybe 9, I guess.
You don't think they can win double digit?
I don't know, man. I feel like their quarterback situation is going to be a problem the entire year. I mean, unless I feel like it's going to be Russell Wilson, because it kind of has to be, and I don't know. I don't know what he has left. Mike Tomlin teams on offense, not usually fantastic. I don't know. I mean, they got T.J. Watt, and they got an amazing team. I mean, I don't know. Their defense is great, so I got who knows. But I'm going 9 wins.
That was like the hardest question I've ever delivered to you. You're like, I don't know. We are in the prediction business. I need a number.
9 wins. I said 9 wins right away.
You did, and then I pressed you. I was like, I need more.
Yeah, I know.
I want more wins. You're like, I told you. You put me in a bad position. Number two.
Number two.
I love this video you sent over of Lamar Jackson by I love it. I find it fascinating, but I truly hate it. Tell people what you sent over.
There's a video of Lamar Jackson riding a bicycle. Now, not only did I think he shouldn't be on a bicycle, he's riding a bicycle with one hand on the handlebars, high-fiving fans, and he almost falls off. And I mean, it looks like he was within a millisecond of something really bad happening. And I just don't understand whose idea this was, because the team's with him with cameras doing it, you know, watching him do it as if they knew about it. And I just felt it was really dumb.
But I'm very big on, with athletes, they shouldn't do anything that's adventurous. Now, listen to what I'm saying. He's riding a bike. But for me, that's adventurous.
Yeah.
I think everything, it's the main piece of your franchise. You're paying $55 million for these quarterbacks. Like, bruh,
yeah,
you got to go out in a bubble. There's no riding a bike. And you're right. Here, two things. One, the bike was one of those powered bikes, which I've never been on one, but I know I would go through, you know, some plate glass window at some point, or just, you know, a header on a car.
Sure.
He's riding, and he starts waving like he's doing the high five. All of a sudden, the wheel turns, and he almost flips it over.
Yeah, I know. It's like, crazy.
No.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
And these are guaranteed contracts now. You know, a lot of these contracts used to be, you know, you cut a guy after a year or so. This guy's guaranteed a lot of money. I think it was $200 million. You know, just let him fool his knee up.
His legs are his thing.
Right.
He can get all twisted up. I know every time I do this, people are like, baby, wimp. I'm like, no, it's a million-dollar athlete.
Yeah.
It's it's most important employee. Has anyone ridden a bike in the last year? I have no idea if Jared bikes. Jared?
Stationary bike? Does that count?
Bike outside, no, for Jared.
I've ridden a stationary, but no, not a bike outside. No.
When's the last time?
About 100 pounds ago, probably. I don't know, like a long time ago.
When was that?
Long time ago.
I don't know if I've done it in like 15 years.
Yeah, no, it's been a long time. I feel like I tried one once and it was too small and the balance was bad. I almost Lamar Jackson, and then I just stopped.
What is something else that you never do athletically or like physical work because you're so afraid of getting hurt?
Well, skateboarding is something I used to do as a kid, and I feel like if I got one now, I would immediately break everything. Like, I don't even know if I could stay on it for more than 2 seconds.
Jared, you're younger than both of us. You're fairly in decent shape as compared to us.
I mean,
but is there something that you're fearful of where you're like, I'm not doing that?
I mean, I've had surgery on my knee multiple times.
Oh,
so
boy. You can't do crap.
Pretty much any squat related things. I've
there
actually texted Griffin, who was a college athlete, and go like, do you got any knee exercises that they had
blessed.
You do?
We had a listener come up. He's like, oh, I'm 54. I skateboard. I'm like, God bless you.
Yeah.
You don't look like you got a lot to lose.
He kind of looked like the Ocean Spray guy a little bit.
He did. Yeah, he was kind of yoked up. I don't know why I'm trash talking him a little bit. He's going to come flying through our banner and rip my head off.
Cut you.
Yeah, well, maybe. There's almost nothing I do.
Ever?
I'll walk.
Yeah.
I like to run, but I told you, it's devastating to me mentally what happened to one of our salespeople. Did you hear about this, Jared?
No.
About Erod?
Oh, yeah. I heard that he was hurt. I didn't know what happened.
Oh, he went out to play pickleball. He actually has a tennis background. He went out to play pickleball, and the Achilles ruptured.
Wow.
That's like a year process to come back.
That's why he always wears tennis shirts. Yeah, that's a long time.
That was the next sport I was going to try. I'm like, I think I can do it.
Yeah. Well.
So I'm out.
I think I might still try it. Who cares? I mean, if you get an Achilles, I mean, that's a freak injury. In fact, if you look at it this way, the chances of it happening to you now is probably less because of a freak accident that happened to Erod.
Is that the way it works?
I think so. It's the law of averages.
I don't think that's the way it works. I was at Topgolf the other day, and I was not planning on swinging the club. And one of my friends was like, good, you take over for me. And I started swinging, and I'm like, all right, chip, chip, wedge, wedge, wedge. And then I kept asking him, like, hey, if I just go for the close target, is that okay? Is that the same points?
Right.
And so I did that. And then I sit down, and people are like, boom, like blasting it out to the fifth target. And I'm like, wait, there's more points the further you hit it. And then guess what happened? 23-year-old Cofield clicks in, and I'm like, okay, you know, just gorilla.
And there goes the vertebrae.
I started to feel it. I'm like, what are you doing? No stretching. Yeah. I didn't take any freaking practice swings.
I heard stretching's a myth, though. Is that true? I heard stretching.
I don't think it is, actually. No. No. I don't think it is. Top story, number one.
Erod told me that.
Yeah. Number one.
Jared, was there a bet between or with some of the, what was it, rookie quarterback? Or no, it was Jaden Daniels and Malik Nabers. What was the bet?
They bet each other $10,000. This was before either of them were drafted, that one of them would win Rookie of the Year.
Oh, wow.
And then in May, when they got drafted, their teams basically went, please don't do that. Please don't do that. And now the NFL, like basically yesterday, went, oh, everybody's getting extra training sessions because y'all don't seem to understand this gambling thing that we love. We love gambling. We love gambling. You can't do it.
Well,
stop doing it.
But the funny thing is, personal bets have been made forever in the NFL.
Yeah.
Now, the NFL takes the money and partners up with what they thought was evil, which, by the way, they hated us in Vegas.
Oh, of course.
Hated us.
Yeah, we were never getting a team ever.
We were the threat when it came to gambling. And it's the second they could make money off of it, they're like, let's go, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. And now the players are like, wait, we can't make friendly bets anymore?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to make a bet, you got to keep it quiet. That's their mistake. You can't announce it. You got to keep it quiet.
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN, Las Vegas, and ESPN, Reno.
What's wrong, Jared? You don't like that dramatic pause?
I got to start previewing things before I put them in.
Just behind the curtain, I literally want to freaking cut myself every time. It's just something small that drives me. Anyway, we'll get it fixed.
That's what you get for paying attention. I just wander off in my
brain.
I know.
Well, you know what? Being the two on a show is the greatest thing ever. I've done it, and you're just in la-la land. Meanwhile, I'm like, just way too intense. Way too intense. I can only imagine what it's like right now. Week zero is coming up. Your college football team, you've been freaking thumping against each other. And the night before the opener, and you know, UNLV is going to go through this next week. It's intense. And Nevada's got its first game coming up. SMU is coming to Reno. Shannon Kelly is our insider, of course, with Nevada Sportsnet, and she joins Greg and Cofield here on this Friday to preview the game tomorrow. Shannon, how are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing good. I'll be honest. It doesn't really feel like college football is starting tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's August, but it's here.
It's crazy. Okay, first of all, I was just telling Greg, I always feel like I'm out of the loop, right? So I'm looking on your Twitter account, and I don't think this is like a tagged picture from 5 years ago. I see a picture on a lake, hugging. What the hell happened? What was it, July 10th? You got a big announcement to make?
I do, yeah. I got engaged this summer up in Lake Tahoe, so it's been a great summer.
Wow.
Yes, got engaged.
Congratulations.
Who's the lucky guy?
Thank you. His name is John Malcolm. He's a Reno native.
Okay. Can I ask a question about getting engaged? Those photos, how does that get set up without you knowing, or do you know? Is there a real engagement, and then the you set it up? Like, how does that – there's always perfect pictures now in this era.
Well, he did a great job because that was all in real time. He got a photographer, and she was hiding in the trees, and I met her before.
Really?
Yeah, her name Ashley Robinson. She does a great job. And she's local, based in Reno here, and she did a great job capturing the moment because she was in the trees, she was hiding, and I had no idea. And then we had her for almost 2 hours to take some photos of us, which was really awesome. And that was a great surprise in itself.
We are part of your extended family, so I hope you drop a line about the bachelor party that Greg and I, we're ready. We'll go up there. Wherever he's going to do it. Let's go.
Yeah. Hey, you know, when I get all those things... when I get all those things set in stone, along with a date, as we're trying to plan, I know where to find you guys.
She was just saying, read between the lines, she's like, you have no shot of going to his bachelor party.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Or was it, nor am I allowing him to have a bachelor
party.
Would
appreciate all the guys, though. Yeah. I mean, hey, the more the merrier.
Do you know if he had paid the photographer up front? Because what if you said no?
He probably did. So, yeah, lucky for him, I didn't say no, right?
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, so the Wolfpack are playing in week zero. First of all, this is a weird game on the schedule, SMU. It came together kind of late, so just talk about the details of this game getting on the schedule in week zero with a now a Power 4 team coming to Reno.
It is pretty crazy. As you said, it did come on pretty late. It was back in February when this game was added. But Coach Choate said at the time, hey, you know, we have a chance to add a Power 4 ACC opponent coming to Mackey Stadium. There's no reason to say no to that. So, it is interesting because, you know, the season opener was supposed to be at Troy next week. So, and I think this, you know, could be one of the toughest opponents that Nevada faces this season when you look up and down on SMU's roster, a team that was receiving votes in the AP Top 25.
Shannon Kelly's with us from Nevada Sportsnet. All right, you scouted the SMU side. Man, they had a big year last year. They're good, and they got a good returning quarterback. This is a dangerous spot. I mean, they're a talented team.
They're really talented. 9 of their 11 starters are returning on offense, top 10 in scoring. They really haven't missed a beat. So I think while they're going to have the edge, really at almost every position when you look up and down their roster at all aspects of it, but Nevada's going to have to make them earn everything. I think Nevada's the home team. They know – you know, they're the big underdogs. There's no secret there, but this is an SMU team that, you know, they thrive on explosive plays. So how is Nevada going to be able to slow them down and slow down their tempo and try and get them off rhythm? I think that's going to be one of the biggest things to try and look out for.
You know, you kind of mentioned this already, but slowing them down. Now, they're a run-first offense. Are they still going to be a run-first offense? Because that's a good way to keep a great quarterback off the field on the other side.
Yeah, I don't know. I think – it'll be interesting to see what they come out with and what they want to do. But, I mean, Nevada's defense is going to have to be playing at its best early on. I mean, it's a week zero game for both of these teams. So, you know, while Nevada has film on SMU, SMU doesn't have film on this new Jeff Choate Nevada squad yet. But Nevada's defense is going to have to be up to par. And, you know, especially if they can get some takeaways, that's going to be key too.
I'm guessing the same focus is going to be there for the Nevada offense, run-based. You got a running quarterback. I am correct, right? Lewis won the job?
He did, yeah. Lewis won the job. So Chubba Purdy was in the mix, but he's been hurt for almost all of fall camp. He went down pretty early with a minor shoulder injury. So We don't know exactly yet when his return will be. Nothing serious, no surgery needed, but he was pretty limited during camp. So A.J. Bianco, he will back up Lewis on Saturday.
And then the run game, Sean Dollars is back, but they've actually added some other dudes. So who else is in the mix to split carries and, you know, be a good run offense for the Wolfpack?
Yeah, Sean Dollars, he's back. And then also Nevada added quite a few guys. You look at Savion Red from Texas. You look at Caleb Ramsier. He transferred on in as well. Kai Woods, also a transfer. Patrick Garwo from Boston College. He's been hurt really during spring and fall camp with an undisclosed injury. So we haven't seen much of him yet. But Savion Red listed on the depth chart as second, and Caleb Ramsier as third. So I think, yeah, I mean, Jeff Choate made it very clear day one of his press conference that he's going to run the ball, and now it's a matter of, hey, how do those pieces come together, and what does the offensive line look like this year?
This hour is brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. 766-1400 is a call from anywhere in the state of Nevada number. You got to dial 775 in the north because they do have an office in Reno and then downtown Vegas, Vegas, and Henderson, and Shannon Kelly's on the horn with us. The Wolfpack are plus 27 tomorrow on a 5 o'clock start against SMU. It's at home. CBS Sportsnet is the spot. So looking at the overall season, where's the bigger point of concern for you? Is it on offense or is it the defense?
Well, I think as of right now, having not seen anything yet, I want to say it's offense based off of what, you know, last year was, but this is a new team. So I guess I can't necessarily go with that. I don't know. It's going to be interesting because I think, you know, with so many new guys, which group is going to gel together best and the quickest? You know, hopefully it is offense because that's really an area where Nevada needs to improve, especially if they want to run the ball. You know, will this group have more passing touchdowns than interceptions this season? So I think that's an area that really can improve. But Brendan Lewis, he won the starting job, and Jeff Choate said very high things about Lewis and how he feels like he's improved. So I think there's a lot of optimism really on both sides of the ball, and we'll just have to wait and see what happens with a lot of new pieces in the puzzle this year.
Well, glass overflowing with Jeff Choate. In this era of the transfer portal, when you need to rebuild, you can do it a lot quicker if you nail the transfer portal players the right way. So you can, you know, bring in 30, 35 mm-hmm. players. One of the guys they brought in, I think, is a really interesting story because he's back for a second time. I don't know if you've had a chance to talk to him. I talked to him at Mountain West Conference Media Day. You probably did too. But Henry Ika Hahifo.
Yeah.
Tell the audience here in Vegas about him.
He, very interesting story. So Henry Ika Hahifo actually started his career at Nevada under Jay Norvell. He was on offense, and I want to say he was a tight end, then transferred over to play defense. He left Nevada, went to a junior college, and then he went to Cal. Was at Nevada last season under Ken Wilson, but was ruled ineligible due to all the transfer rules. So now he's back this year. This is his final season, and he's stoked play for Coach Choate. One of his cousins played for Coach Choate up at Montana State. So he's very excited, and he's, you know, hungry. He hasn't played a game in over a year, so very hungry to get out on the field and help anchor the Nevada defense.
So what do you got? What do you guys have tomorrow for coverage on Nevada Sportsnet?
For coverage tomorrow, we'll have all of our coverage over on News 4 on the air tomorrow night at 11 o'clock. And then, of course, have updates on social media and our website, NevadaSportsNet.com. And then we, of course, have NSN Tonight headed your way today as we break down the matchup a little bit more tonight.
Nice. You guys did a full Mountain West Conference preview that has video and aired on local Fox?
We did, yeah, our hour-long Mountain West football preview show. So we talked to all the coaches down at Media Days back in July and then put together a special, and we taped it over at Mackey Stadium. So an hour in-depth special to get you prepped for the season. Good stuff.
Did that include picks for the Mountain West Conference? And if so, who did you pick first in the conference? Do it.
I went with the preseason favorites, Boise State.
Come on. I mean, you're from Vegas.
I know I'm being boring. Chris Murray and I were boring. We had the same pick, so we were boring. But
boring or vindictive?
I think, you know, it's crazy because with eight new coaches this year, really, it could be anybody's game. Yeah. I think a lot could happen, and it's hard to say what could happen this early on.
Yeah, I'm busting your chops. Boise should be the pick. to win it, but I think UNLV has a shot. It depends on not only coaches, but a lot of new quarterbacks around the league. So, Shannon, we're up against it. We're glad you're on board again here in the fall and into the basketball season, and we'll talk to you next week. We'll figure out what day we're going to do, and weekly reports from Shannon Kelly right here on Cofield & Company. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
There she is, Shannon Kelly, underscore TV. I think I have that right.
Getting married.
Yeah. I don't think we can weasel our way into the bachelor party. I also think if Shannon really knew you and I.
Oh, she wouldn't invite me.
It's not. No. She doesn't want her husband being around us.
No,
or her future husband.
Just show her like 2 seconds of video of us, and I don't think she'd want us to go to that thing.
Well, I mean, that's part of it. But I've been to parties. My younger brother, one of his parties, I went. He didn't like it at all. I had a grand old time. I took advantage. Not like that. Relax. All right, second half of the show's on the way.
It's Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Raiders are playing over at the Owl in just a little bit, 7 o'clock. There you go. That guttural. Salerno's here. It's Cofield. James, running the set. Here is Treasure Island Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Got some folks walking around with a Raiders shirt on, right?
Yeah.
There's a big fella who walked by earlier. I think that was an 84 jersey. I was thinking it was Bo Jackson, but...
Yeah, he was really tall.
He and McMillan were vibing. Generally, Mateo's here, and I've joked Mateo's a big hit with the poly community because they all believe
the
he's
hair.
They all believe he's Polynesian. There's some Polynesian descent. And he's like, nah.
Well, he's got hair like down to his butt almost.
James vibes with. I don't want to spill beans. He's had success here. I'll just say that.
Really,
like legit success. Yeah,
success.
Just leave it at
okay.
that. Let your imagination run wild. Don't let it run wild on what I was saying earlier about he'll do it during the break. About bachelor parties, I was saying my younger brother has been married twice, and I think I went to the first bachelor party, and that's not his thing.
So
it was mine.
I was going to say.
I appropriated joy.
Have you ever seen that movie, Very Bad Things? Where they come to Vegas for that bachelor party?
No, but I've been part of Very Bad Things here.
Yeah. Well, they accidentally kill a hooker. I'm not saying that this is what you did. I'm just saying they did it in the movie.
We didn't do that.
Yeah, no. And the rest of the movie, there, it's like everything goes wrong.
Yeah.
It's a pretty crazy movie.
We'll reschedule Chuck Hustle in a couple minutes because now we're on to something here.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell all the details of the story, but one of the... Man, I'm trying to think how long my one friend who works up on the Strip, he's got to be married now going on 20 years, maybe longer. And, the place we had the party at was a suite and a place that's next door that's no longer inhabited and being gutted at Mirage. And we got kicked out of the room. So
really?
Yeah. But I just remember I was at the party. I wasn't doing anything lewd. But at one point, someone shot a picture of me, and I'm just – all I'm wearing is – I'm just wearing underwear. What are the swim trunk type underwear? What are they called?
Speedo.
Not briefs. What are the other ones?
You're wearing a Speedo?
No, I wasn't wearing a Speedo.
Oh. So they weren't briefs. Boxers?
Like boxer briefs, yeah.
No,
so I always blank on the name. Yeah, I had boxer briefs on. I'm like,
I
wouldn't do that now.
Yeah.
Not with
Gutpa. How did you get into your boxers, though?
I took my clothes off.
Okay.
I mean, how did I get in my body?
I
put them on when I left, and then all of a sudden I'm at this party, and I'm like, okay, let's go.
You're beating around the bush. So
fun times.
Just trying to figure out.
Fun times.
Okay.
Yeah, but then we got kicked out. So.
All right.
And that's when traditional Cofield kicked in because
we had
brought coolers up of beers, and I'm like, let's go. Get the coolers.
Yeah, right.
Where are the cases? Let's go.
Did you get kicked out in your boxers, or you had to put your clothes on first?
I was able to put my clothes on.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't the reason for the kicking out. I'll leave it at that. But, you know, it doesn't matter anymore. The Mirage is gone. So it's one of the great memories that happened. There wasn't anything illegal that was being done.
Well,
it was all fun and games.
I didn't ask that. I just,
it was all fun.
I just wonder how that happened, you know.
Yeah. There's too many details sometimes. You want too much. Well, so this right here, I will send this clip to Shannon Kelly.
Yeah.
Like, that's the innocent stories
right.
of a bachelor party. I'll send it to her, and I'm like, trust me, we were kidding. You don't want us at
your
fiance's bachelor party.
Well, first of all, I can't get. I don't know. I feel weird around people anyway. So if I don't know people and I'm.
Oh, those are the best ones when you don't know anyone.
Yeah. No, forget about it. I can't.
Are the best ones.
I'll freak out.
I don't even know how I got. I got into, or I was invited, or I got dragged along to one of them. I think it was somewhere in central New Jersey, closer to Philadelphia. And I was like, oh, this worked out. Just, it was at a house.
Yeah.
I was like, this worked out pretty well. It was good stuff.
Yeah. I've actually been the only guy at a bachelorette party once.
Is that right?
Yeah.
This party I was at years ago, though, ping pong balls.
Nice.
Ping pong balls.
Did you measure the distance or no?
Coming up, we're going to get into Raider fandom. Boy, there's a little kid who's really, really got a lot of angst. You got to hear from this kid.
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
If you're so into the NFL, you know your Raiders, I can tell right here. How are you feeling with the team this year?
We're not going to the Super Bowl. I already know it.
We got a realistic Raiders fan here. This is odd. This is the first interview I've ever had like this. The Super Bowl chances are not good, but what is it going to take for the Raiders to have a successful season, you think?
Not to get arrested.
Okay, that's definitely an interesting one.
It's Cofield and Company.
Wow. I feel like that's my spirit animal. Or I guess better said, if I had a child I don't know about, the little tyke right there who was on Channel 13 locally, I mean, I don't think he was older than like 12. And right out of the gates, he's like, yeah, we're not going to make the Super Bowl. And just don't get arrested, please.
Yeah, the arrested part I get. How are you a fan, though, man? Not a real fan.
Really?
A little punk? Parents did you wrong, man.
Keep going.
I mean, look, if I'm an Eagles fan and they ask me if the Eagles are winning the Super Bowl, I don't care who's starting. I don't care if it's, you know, Detmer again or whatever. I'm still going out there and saying we're going to win.
You've been over the top enthusiastic even as a kid moving forward with the Eagles?
Not always. I mean, okay, the only time I would be like this kid, though, is if the season already started and they were halfway through and they hadn't won any games or something. Yeah. Then I can understand. Before the season even starts, though?
I mean, you'd like to think a 12-year-old would have some hope.
Yeah.
My lord.
I mean, come on. I'm trying not to say bad things because he's a kid.
Did Channel 13 reporter make a mistake there by saying a realistic Raider fan? I've never seen this before.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of.
I feel like Raider Nation is very split. I think there are people who are pie in the sky folks, who, by the way, those are the same people who probably still love Derek Carr. And then there's others who are, you know, gritty, gutty, battled veteran of disappointment.
I don't understand the Derek Carr stuff. They didn't win with him either. But, yeah, I don't know. I've been on the 9-win wagon for the Raiders for a while now. I'm pretty sure it's going to be around there. But you don't even know, though. I mean, you can go worst to first in this league, you know, all the time. I know they weren't worst. But, you know, you can go to last to first in 1 year in the NFL. So okay. You never know.
Look at this, man.
You never know.
Yeah, really optimistic. Give me that cut. I think our vast sound crew, not me, labeled this Raiders punk. Give me the first part of the clip again.
The vast sound crew screwed that up.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Did VSC load the astute fan that we wanted to talk to? We wanted to hear from.
Yes.
Okay. Let's get them. Anyway, the point I was going to make with the kid and Nick Walters, who's at Channel 13. I thought, like I said, that was kind of interesting that he was like, first realistic Raiders fan I've talked to. Jared, you asked me, you're like, you don't know our relationship with Nick Walters, so what do you want to say? Is there something?
No, I just...
Are you making some judgment on Nick?
No, not at all. I just know that we have people we are friends with, and we have people we're not friends with, and, you know, we like
we're friends with everyone.
Okay, sorry.
I'll tell you now, I'm not friends with him.
I was about to
say. Not after that comment. No.
Which one? The reporter?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
No more of you.
More heat.
Yeah.
More heat. Nick did hook up with, I thought, a very astute fan, so fire this as he was asked about the Raiders and, you know, what it's been like being a Raider fan here in Las Vegas and if the Raiders are good for the city.
Oh, I think they're doing fantastic. I attend a monthly meeting of some really successful businessmen, and the Raiders come in and they support that all the time. They do a great thing, a lot for kids, a lot for charities locally here, a lot for businesses locally. I think they're really helping the community, along with giving us something to really be proud of here, which has brought in other teams, good ones and the A's.
Why are the A's getting strays?
Ah, the A's suck, man. Come on. Nobody wants the A's.
I mean, are there Raiders fans? And I mean, I guess there are. Raider Nation knows what happened with Mark Davis and John Fisher and the Raiders and the A's and the way the Raiders felt like they got dissed big time and their treatment at the Coliseum by the A's.
They should feel that way. NFL's a juggernaut, man. What are the A's? Garbage. Nobody cares. You know? This guy's talking about charities and stuff. Nobody cares about that either. Just win.
Well, we do care about that.
I mean, you know.
If we're, you know, if you're going
to. I care
gonna,
about it. I care about it when they tell me I have to be there. Yeah.
I love charitable events. Sure, when I'm assigned to do
me
them.
Too. Yeah, exactly.
That's not my words. Those are yours. Give me astute fan two here. This is Channel 13 in Vegas.
Well, how have you seen the fan base grow?
We came here when the stadium was still being built. And so I think folks that didn't have a team are choosing the Raiders. I think folks that have a team but weren't in love with it, when you come and you join Raider Nation, it's just hard to get it off of you. It just stays on you. It's a fantastic experience worldwide.
Yeah. Prediction for this season, what do you got for us?
I got us right at about 500, maybe a game or two over. It's up to Minshew.
Okay, well, that's a big difference if they're 8-9, 9-8, or 11-7.
Yeah, I agree. By the way, I love charities. Steph McKenzie will kill me if I say that, so yes. I do love charities. But, yeah, no, I don't know, man. Some of these people, but his reasoning is ridiculous, though. Like, he didn't say anything that made any sense to why they would win or lose. He just gave a bunch of reasons why he's glad they're in town.
He said it's on Minshew. Well, I don't think it was like a hardcore, hey, bruh, give a prediction now.
Well, I mean, at least
and give me
like,
money, we're going to bet.
Hey, I like their offense or anything. He didn't say anything. He was like, you know, this one guy bought me a burger once, so yeah, I like the Raiders. You know?
I mean, Jared, did you think that was the point of the interview? I think Nick Walters was being more featurey.
Yeah, he was definitely trying to, like, just get some fluff in there. And meanwhile, Greg's like, why aren't you asking these people questions like Cofield asking me to predict
exactly.
A record?
I want the Steelers wins. I don't want to hear I don't know. Let's go. It was great, though, and those live spots are dynamite. When a little kid throws you off and says, just don't get arrested.
Yeah, I mean,
as a reporter, he was like, oh, that's a good answer. Where do I go from here?
I mean, the kid's onto something with that one. I get it, because they've had a lot of arrests, so that makes sense.
It would have been funny had the kid just started listing off everybody that's been arrested.
Right.
Yeah, we got him in the first round. He got arrested. That guy liked to leave cars just out, like he'd rent them and just leave them on the side of the road.
Yeah, we had the guy from the secondary that was pointing bazookas at the camera at one point.
The question, well, the arrested thing is interesting. This goes back to a question I actually got, and it's not like I'm out and I get questions. It was a group of dudes in town last week. We were doing a fantasy football draft, and they got into this conversation like, hey, if you could go back in time for 2 days and be at, like, any event, what would you go back to? But you can't change history. And they were like, oh, a concert, like, in 66. I would have been around, you know, Grateful Dead. And,
right.
And I was like, I don't know. I'm like, I would have loved to hang out with Barrett Robbins in the days he went AWOL at the Super Bowl and see, like, what the hell he was doing in Tijuana. They were like, well, okay.
What was he doing in Tijuana?
I don't know that we truly know.
Did anybody ever ask him?
But the thing is, I'm not allowed to change history, so I couldn't have been like, hey, Barrett, please, you're the center. You make all the line calls.
Yeah.
I would have to probably be a willing participant, just make sure he didn't die. But I probably would have been like, yeah, let's do it.
You been to Tijuana?
Yeah.
He probably doesn't remember.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he was I think he was pretty allegedly whacked.
Yeah.
Not killed. But,
No, yeah.
But that's one of those events that Raiders people remember. Like, if you talk to teammates on that team, you know, Bucks Raiders Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They're still totally sour about it because they're like, yeah, we would have won the game. Like, our center freaking controlled all the line calls, and then we're mentally jacked going into the game. And then I forget who the backup center was, but like, he did not have a great game either. So he was an all pro center.
Eagles should have been there anyway. It doesn't really matter. Should have been the Eagles.
I mean,
Rondae Barber ruined my life.
I was going to yell at you about should have been, but you're right. I just said the Raiders, well, players believe they should have won.
Yeah, they weren't going to win.
Yeah. I think Gruden had quite the advantage.
Yeah, exactly.
Since he probably knew most of their plays, and maybe Bill Callahan didn't mix it up enough. We're hanging out at Treasure Island. Great spot for food and entertainment. Phil's Steakhouse, good example. Classic steakhouse featuring prime cuts of meat, seafood, and Italian specialties. They've got the 12-ounce center cut filet, the Australian Wagyu picanha, lobster and crab Diablo pasta, and good appetizers. You know, all the steakhouses, you get the sides. So they've got a wild mushrooms and sweet cherry broccolini. A little bit of health there.
Sounds good.
Yes. So visit Treasure Island anytime you can. Free parking in the back with the self-parking valet up front, as most casinos have. But the free parking on the Strip is very rare now. Dynamite. So come on in. We hang out here every Friday. You got a great spot at Golden Circle, but Dynamite Restaurants here. A little more football before we get to the 5 o'clock hour. 5:25, we're going to talk to our buddy Matt Neverett on Major League Baseball. Matt is the voice of the Aviators, voice of Rebel football, so we'll find out about both and what's going on this week. Jared sent over the question, the statement, Kirk Herbstreit, still no one's favorite analyst. Are you an anti-Herbie guy? Do you even know who he is? Like, does it matter?
Yeah, I mean, I know him. I feel like he does pretty well with the ladies or whatever. I don't know.
What?
I don't know. I'm just saying. Looks like a guy that does okay with the ladies.
I'm sure he's been married and has a lot of kids.
Oh, maybe he does. I don't know. I'm just saying.
But he could still do well with the ladies.
He looks like an actor is what I'm saying.
Yes, he's a handsome man.
Yeah, he's very handsome.
Jared, this seems to be something that's stuck in your craw. What's your problem?
I just – every time he's doing it, like any sort of like breakdown on a play, it's the most inane things possible. Like, he has no insight. Hmm. It's all just, yep. And so whenever the ball gets tossed over onto that side, if that guy makes a block, that goes for a long way. But because the block didn't happen, it didn't go very far. It's so like okay, cool, thanks. Al, do you just want to go golfing while he just mutters? Because this is not entertaining.
Well, I think Al retired 20 years ago, so I kind of feel bad for Herbstreit anyway, being on that broadcast. So.
Right, but it...
Wait. Oh. No, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say that at least Al is like, yeah, he's there for the paycheck. At least Al might have something interesting, like from a historical perspective. He's not just giving me paint by numbers. Well, yeah, well, he dropped back, and when he let it go, it went far.
I didn't know what the announced team was this year. So my thing with Herbie, first of all, there's a point where you have too many jobs. There's a point where you have too many football games to cover.
Yeah.
And I think he's such a college guy. It's hard to be up on all of the NFL. I also think Michaels can be a little bit intimidating. So maybe that's why that hasn't really clicked. And I was like, well, Michaels did say he's retiring. And then I just, I was just looking it up like, oh no, he's back.
I know.
He's back again for Thursday Night Football.
I know, for really exciting touchdown calls.
Yeah,
and it's a touchdown.
If I were to come up with an excuse for Al,
he's 90.
I think that's part of it. I also don't think it's as easy to see.
Oh,
is that
a
good excuse?
Maybe. Yeah. No, that's a good point.
Because I got to be honest with you, my eyesight is terrible, and the few times I got to do some UNLV games on Silver State Sports and Entertainment Network, we were upstairs.
Sure.
And I never look at the field. I'm just looking at the monitor the whole time. Because if I look down at the field, I'm like, I had nothing. And now most TV booths aren't as high as the top level of Allegiant. We're just above the TV booth,
right,
which probably is a little bit better. So maybe that's his struggles.
Maybe.
Or he's just – I mean, listen, I don't want to kill him. He's a legend of broadcasting. But, I mean, you get older, you're just not as sharp.
I mean, yeah.
Most people.
I remember the Super Bowl even – very well, because the Eagles were in it in 2017, and some of those plays even, he was already, like, out the door already. Like, he wanted to go home. I don't know. It didn't seem like he was really calling the game.
He has had quite a few calls where he seemed kind of disinterested. And then he has a history. I always appreciated this. He was one of the lone guys who won followed gambling, sports gambling. And, of course, then people just immediately assume, same thing with Brent Musburger, like, oh, he must have money on the game. Like, I don't know if he had money on the game. You guys are the idiots who don't want gambling and the context of gambling in the game.
Right.
Now, the way Al had to do it was weird, because he'd be like, well, in some places, a touchdown right now kind of matters. Like, but that is important. That is part of the story.
All of a sudden, he's cheering because the guy didn't cover, but he doesn't care about the rest of the game.
5 o'clock hour's on the way. I need advice.